Well, we are in this third week of the series about managing life, and today we are talking about friendships. We all long to know people, and we all long to be known by people. There's something inside every human being that wants people to know us genuinely. Not just the surface, but the hurts and the celebration in our life, that people would come alongside us in every season of our life to be like, yes, that's awesome, or we weep with you in that difficult situation. We long to be loved by others in a very genuine way. And also, we were designed actually to love others and care for them where they're at. It is okay. That baby is alive. That is good. Crying babies are good. That means they're alive. So let's be thankful for that. We're family. That's all right, you know? So it's good. And we were created for friendship, to love one another and to be loved by others. But I would imagine all of us in this room have been betrayed or hurt by someone. And that's difficult. And the reality is friendships are risky and hard. We have to take a risk to be friends with other people. And friendships are not instantaneous. Friendships are not microwaved. I mean, they're not microwaved. You don't put a friendship in and be like, let's just be friends right now. Friendships are more like a crock pot. It's slow over time, and usually it takes a little heat for relationships to really forge, because relationships take time, and through adversity, we're bound together as friends. So we long for friendship. But have you ever had that friend disappoint you? You know, we as human beings are like a styrofoam cup. We're fragile. None of us are perfect. None of us are solid. And I wonder if some of our relationships, we've put so much expectation on others that we crush them at times. There's times in our own life that there's things that we want of our friend, and we put this burden on them, and they hold up for a little while, right? But then we have this other expectation on them, and we put this expectation of, man, I need that of that person. It's supposed to collapse. Whoa. There we go. But we put expectations on other people that they were never designed to have. They were this expectation that they were to be perfect for you. Maybe you do this with your spouse. You put so much expectation on them to be the perfect person, to be always there, and your expectations crush them. The reality is we weren't fully designed to put all of our expectations on human beings. You know, Tom Cruise in the famous movie said, "You complete me." No human being will ever complete you. If you're going after a spouse or a friend to complete you, you will actually crush them, because they will never meet your expectations and can never fulfill that. There is only one being in all the universe that can meet all those things, the one that can hold all things, and that's God, and he's holy. Bad pastor joke. Credit to Reese. But listen, we have expectations. We long to be comforted. We long to be counseled. We long for some to be consistent there. And yes, we can have friends that are somewhat there, but God of the universe wants to be our friend. He wants to be that consistent guiding reality before we talk about friendships with one another. So this morning, I want you to take a risk to understand what it means to have a friendship with God and a friendship with others. Yes, God is reveals himself in so many different ways. He is creator, redeemer, king, Lord. He is all those things. But do you relate to the God of the universe as friend? Like, he's your friend. That you walk with him, you talk with him, you cry with him, you can ask him hard questions. We need to first talk about what it means to be a friend with God before we can talk about what it means to be friends with one another. Otherwise, we will have all these unhealthy expectations to crush. And listen, sometimes pursuing friendships with others becomes an idol. It becomes a god. Sometimes your pursuit of other friendships or a spouse, if you're not married, becomes a god in itself, and it was never meant to be that ultimate thing. Wise friends are a good thing, but they should never be the ultimate thing. And if you place a wise friend or the pursuit of a friendship from a certain person as the ultimate thing, you will crush them because they can't hold up to that. So friends, I want us to have a foundation first of what it means to be a friend of God so we can be friends with one another here and in the world. So the big idea is this, up on the screen. Being a friend of Jesus and having friends enables us to live a life that is the fullest. To be a friend of God and to be friends with other human beings, there's where life is full to the fullest. To love God and to love others, this is where life is the fullest. Do you have a friendship with God? Do you have a friendship genuinely with other human beings? So first point I want to show us is this. Jesus invites all people to be his friends. He invites all people. Let me put this down before it rolls away like that one. Jesus invites all people to be his friends. It says this in Matthew chapter 11. The Son of Man, meaning Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they said, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Jesus was accused of moving to those who are the furthest place of the culture, meaning friends of sinners. Jesus invites everybody to be his friend, sinner and saint, male and female, the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Christian, the moral righteousness, the moral ill-righteousness, the Democrat, the Republican, the Fox-watching person, the CNN news-watching person, white, black, heterosexual, homosexual, transsexual, refugee, alien, documented, undocumented. Jesus invites every single human being into a friendship, and Jesus moved towards them. If you don't believe that, I invite you to read three books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look at this guy, Jesus. Did I say three? Well, you don't pay me to be an accountant. Read the four books. We are not using this sermon online. We're using First Service. He invites all these people to himself, young and old. Jesus is totally inclusive of his invitation to be a friend of him. Do you see that? Where you are right now and where your friends are and your family members are. Like the story that was told here. Jesus invites all people to be his friend. A guy named Levi, a tax collector who was ostracized, he said, "Come follow me." He's inviting the mafia of the day to come follow him. He is an inclusive invitation to an exclusive way through himself. Jesus invites all of us and every single human being to be his friend because he loves humanity. He's for humanity and he's for every single human being. Jesus befriended everybody. But his friendship, he earned our friendship by what he did. It says this in Romans chapter 5. "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still sinners, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." You see, humanity is not friends with God. We've rebelled against him. Yet Jesus Christ makes us friend by dying the death we deserve and being raised life that we don't deserve because we are separated from him. But he calls us a new relationship. He invites us into this by what he's done for us, friends. You cannot bargain with God to get a friendship. You cannot say, "I will bribe you with what I do or the money I have." You cannot barter with God to get a friendship, and you cannot bargain to get that. No, your friendship with God was bought by Jesus Christ. Does that make sense, friends? You are given this as a gift of friendship with him. Jesus showed the greatest of his love towards us by enabling us to become his friends. The greatest of love he showed towards us, enabling us to become his friends. John 15 says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." No greater love. No greater love than Jesus Christ laying down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You are a friend of God if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus invites all people. But are you a friend of Jesus? Who is God? He's a friend of all. What has he done? He's enabled us to have a friendship with God. Yes, he's king, he's Lord, he's redeemer, he's rescuer, but he's friend. Do you just have a friendship with God? I'm a little concerned, like Jesus is. I think there are some who sit in church and sit in this room that you will stand before him someday and Jesus will say, I never knew you. You did a lot of good things, you knew the right things to do, but you never knew me, you never had a friendship with me. You never listened. You never cried out. You never walked with my spirit. You never obeyed my word. You never knew me. You never knew my heart that breaks for every single human being. God is friend. What has he done? He's enabled us to be his friend. And now we are loved friends of God. You are a loved friend of God. You're a loved friend of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's very intentional because we interact with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in many different ways. But what does that friendship look like? Like, what is the character of God? Like, if you're going to date somebody online, like, I don't. I got a wife. I'm good. But if you're going to check out what they're like and what they do and how they act and their likes and dislikes, do they like cats or dogs? If you're going to interview somebody, you're going to find out what they can and cannot do for that job. You look at their character references. You look at what they do. So if you want to be a friend of God, if God says, I want to be your friend, what is his character? Do you really want to be a friend of God? Do you know him that you would want to be his friend? So I just want to unpack just a little bit of the character of God, of how he is an incredible friend. First, God is committed. God is committed to you as a friend. Romans 8 says this, for I am sure that neither death nor height, nor angels nor rulers, nor anything present or things to come, or powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us because he's committed. We all have friends that are committed, but they let us down. Jesus Christ is committed. He is firm. Foundation. Nothing else will be as stable as a friendship with Jesus. Second, God is close. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit in us, God through us. He's close. You can have friends who Snapchat. You have friends that from a distance you can video chat. You can have friends on Facebook and Instagram. And all those people are at a distance, or you can live close to friends. But God can get no closer than he is in you and through you, and he is omnipresent. I mean, he's present everywhere. God is close. Do you have this friendship with God who's committed? And he's close. Third, God is counselor. Says this about the Holy Spirit. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. He's a good counselor. Like in the moment, you need counsel, you need wisdom. The Holy Spirit is in you to remind you of the scriptures that you've read. In that moment, do you want a friend who gives wise counsel? Says, this is the right direction. Well done. That's a good friend. Or I don't know what to do in this situation. I need help right now. How many of you guys have ever texted somebody in the moment when you needed advice right then? Made a phone call. Snapchat. Right then, you need it. God, the Holy Spirit, is the wise counselor. He's a good friend. Solid counsel. Are you friends with him in that way? Next, God is constant. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He's constant. What is really constant in your life? Especially in this day of age of things moving so quick. I mean, it's cheaper to buy a new dryer than to get your dryer fixed. It's cheaper to buy a brand new pair of shoes than to get them resold. There's nothing constant around us. People are moving here and there. Things are changing constantly. The news cycle is going so fast. What is constant for you? A friendship with God is constant. If you think a friend will always be constant, yes, you should pursue that consistency. Yeah, but God himself is the only thing that will be constant and consistent. Now, I don't have time to look at all the character of God. The last part is God is corrector. Now, this is the one like, oh, I knew he was going to get to that. Like the bad part of God, correction, conviction. But really, a loving God says, that's the wrong way. Proverbs says this, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Like a good friend corrects, right? Like God the Father is a good friend who says, you know what, you're going down this path. Let me show you what the result of that path is. Destruction, disenfranchisement, and ultimately death. A good friend says, look out for that path. Let me correct you. Let me show you the right path. And the gift he gives as a good friend is this thing called repentance, to continually to turn back to him. We will constantly mess up. And just like the prodigal son runs, the God of the universe is our friend and is standing there with open arms and says, even though you run, I will be there to help correct you and for you to run back to me, no matter over and over if you run. Shall we keep on sinning that grace may increase? By no means, but if we continue to sin, we are always can run back and be corrected by him, by his grace and his mercy. That is awesome. Do you have a friendship with this God? Like, do you call God your friend? Do you just commune with him and talk with him? How do we press into this relationship? Like, do you boast about your friendship with God? Jeremiah says this. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone. What should we boast in? That they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love. Like, we brag about people we know. You know what? I know this person. I know this celebrity. I know this sport athlete. I know this gold medal winner. I know this. I know that. I know this person. We like to brag about it, but what do we boast in? When's the last time you boasted about your friendship with Jesus? He's cool, man. Like, he's constant, he's consistent, he's corrected me, he is loving, he's caring, he is awesome. Do you have that friendship with him? That you brag about your friendship with Jesus? Not with arrogance and pride, but in humble reality of, wow, what a gift I have in this friendship with Jesus. Do you come to him in your time of need and worry and anxiety? Do you come to him in your times of joy and abundance? Do you come to him constantly in prayer by his word and by his spirit? I'm concerned that I'm wondering if there's some who sit here who call themselves Christian, but Jesus would say, I never knew you. Let me ask you a few questions to examine your own heart. Do you live with continuous guilt in your own life when you think about your relationship with God? Like, continuous guilt. Like, God, oh my, I'm guilty. I'm wondering if you understand grace and mercy of Jesus, if you have a pandemic reality of continuous guilt. Are you in constant shame because of sin in your life? Like, I know I've done this, and you sit in the pool and the vortex of shame. I'm wondering if you understand Jesus' invitation to be his friend, of grace and mercy and love and compassion of where you're at. Are you living in condemning fear? Like, man, God, he's going to open that can of whoop on me if I mess up again. So I better do good things to outweigh the bad things. I'm in constant fear, but I know I've done enough good things, so he's not going to whoop me. The reality of the truth of a friendship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus wipes away guilt, shame, and fear. We are freed from that in a relationship and a friendship with Jesus. Friends, we don't live with friends who have constant, who put us in a place of constant shame, who put us in a place of constant guilt and a place of constant fear. And Jesus wiped all that away, and we don't have a friendship with him who puts us in shame, guilt, and fear. It's free. That's a friendship with Jesus. Are you excited about that? But many of you in this room are living that Jesus is looking at you with guilt or with shame and guilt and fear. The gospel takes it away, and you're free to be his friend. That's joyous, and that's the foundation to be friends with others. Do you have this friendship? When we have this perfect friendship with God because of what he has done, it allows us to seek how to be friends with others, to love God and now to love others. We are enabled to have friends that are both near and far from Jesus and love them extravagantly when we have this foundation. When you understand and walk and have a relationship with Jesus, who's a friend, it enables you to have friends that are both far from God and near to God, and to love them extravagantly as Jesus has loved you. And we talk, and you hear me talk a lot about loving people that are far from God, like Jesus engaging people that are far from God. And we should be friends with those who are far from God. And that's part of what we talk about as our outward movement, that we're continuing to move towards people that are in our culture. But we're also supposed to move towards one another. So this morning, I just want to help us walk through what does it mean for us to pick wise friends wisely. Now, listen, this is not what I'm saying. This is not what I'm saying. That we get in holy huddles and have wise friends and stay there to protect ourselves. Because the reality of the truth of when we're friends with Jesus, he causes us to be friends with sinners and those who are far from God in normal ways. I'm not going to address that this morning. I'm going to address the reality of, based on our friendship with Jesus, how do we choose wise friends? High school friends, put your head up from your Snapchats. There you go, gotcha. How do you choose wise friends that will be lifelong friends? What does that look like? So, we're going to look at the Proverbs. We can wisely choose our friends who come alongside us in life. We can wisely choose friends. It's someone once said, be a friend you want to be a friend to. That's another way to think about this. So I'm going to help us look through this. Proverbs 18:1. So if you want to look about friendship, read the book of Proverbs. You want to be wise as a friend, look at the book of Proverbs. Sprinkled throughout this whole book are these nuggets of friendship. And listen, most of these principles, you could go to a mosque or a temple and hear these same principles. The difference is we've laid a foundation of what it means to be a friend of Jesus. And out of the overflow of our friend with Jesus, we live out these principles. Does that make sense? And we're not being friends with others so that God likes us more. That's the difference. That's the gospel fluency of what it means to walk with Jesus. We got that, friends? Okay? So, Proverbs 18:1 says this, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all judgment. First, we see Not a principle yet, but isolation is not the way we're designed. If you isolate yourself and insulate yourself from other human beings, you will spiral out of control. But you need people around you. You were designed to be with people. God created us to be in connection with him in the Garden of Eden and in connection with others. And once sin entered the world, Adam and Eve separated themselves from God and one another, and they covered themselves with fig leaves, and they isolated themselves from one another and God, and they insulated themselves with fig leaves. You were not created to live in isolation. You were created to live in community and to have wise counsel. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer hardship. Whoever walks with a smart person will become smart. The person who walks with an idiot will become an idiot. So one way to paraphrase it, do you seek out wise people? High school friends, middle-aged. Who you surround yourself will cause you to go one direction or another. Proverbs also says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, the writer David says this, a man of many companions mean acquaintances, but there is a friend who sticks closer. There's a contrast, a little bit of friend and companion. Now, I'm an extrovert, and I like to work the room. I like to have a lot of companions. I like to have a lot of friends. So when we first got married, I was very wise at 22 years old. And I'm an extrovert, and Dulcie is an introvert. But the way you think about yourself, you think that's the right way, right? Like, everybody should be an extrovert. If you're an introvert, that's stupid. So in my wisdom of a 22-year-old newlywed, we go to a party, and I like work the room, and I'm a friends with everybody. A mile wide and an inch deep with all my friendships in that room. And I watched my wife, she like sat in the corner and talked to somebody the whole time. I'm like, that is so boring. Like, she didn't get to know anybody. And so I'm thinking in my self-centered way, like, this is the right way to work the room. No. True friendships are few and far between. We can have acquaintances, but there is a reality of this deep, forged friendship. I can't be friends with everybody who calls Trinity their church home. I just can't. I will be friendly, but I just can't be your friend as this deep, rich friendship. So what is the principles, what are some building blocks of what you should look for in a friend or pursue as a friend in light of who Jesus is and what he's doing? First, friends are consistent. It says in Proverbs, a friend loves at all times and is born, a brother is born in adversity. Friends are consistent in good times and not so good times, in hard times and joyous times. That's why the scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. A friend loves at all times. That means they extend grace when you mess up. They assume the best when there's a gap between the unknown and the known. You carry one another's burdens at all times. There's an allowance of transparency without ever feeling like you're going to be kicked where it hurts. We'll just say that. That's why we're using the first service. Friends are consistent. Are you a friend like that? Are you pursuing wise friendship, a wise friend who will be consistent? Second, friends are committed, very, very similar in a way, but never abandon a friend. Always there at all times. I'll never forget, I had a season in my own life. I was in the office, the church office, several years ago back in Ohio, and I received this phone call. It was really horrific news about someone in my own life personally. It was news that rocked my world, literally took me to my knees, weeping uncontrollably as my friend Craig Flack comes down the hall and wonders what's going on. And then that night, I was in a place of lament and mourning, and I was able to go to one of our elders' houses. He just wasn't an elder elected, and we had this professional relationship. He was a deep-seated friend. And I was there, and I was able to weep. I was able to mourn. I was able to cry out and say things I can't say up here because your children are in the room, because I was hurting so bad. That's a friend that is committed. That's a friend that allowed me to be in a season of absolute difficulty, even though I was the pastor. Deep-seated elders that were friends who said, yes, Sunday's coming, but you're not preaching this Sunday, because you don't need to carry that burden. We've got that. Don't worry about a thing. There, that's a friend that is committed, who comes alongside in any and every season. Another principle we see from the scriptures is this. Friends have candor. They speak the truth. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. I mean, do you have someone in your life that just speaks truth? You're like, well, I know Jesus said, you know, remove the plank in your eye before the speck in your brother. That's true. But you need people in your life who speak truth to you. How many of you guys ever watched American Idol? How many of you ever watched a singer who sings like this? They get on national television and they sing like this in front of the live audience there. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. And they stand there. And they're like, okay, what are they going to say? Am I moving on to Hollywood? And they rip the person to shreds. They're like, you have no musical talent. And they mourn, and they walk the walk of shame, and they go through the doors, and their friends are like, they're not friends. They didn't speak the truth to them. Never go on national television and sing. Pastor Kevin, never do that again, please. Unless there's a fire in the building and we will all leave quickly. They look like idiots because they actually had no friends to speak candidly to them about what was going on. Do you have friends who would speak candidly? Say, man, it's just not a wise choice. There's a lot of gray in life. Scripture is very black and white, but there are gray areas in our life. Like, who should I date and not date? Who should I marry and not marry? How should I spend this money and that money? How should I spend my time and not time? How should I parent? Should I eat more or not more? Is it okay to drink this beverage or have two beverages? Do you have people in your life that would speak candidly and speak wisdom because you've done life with them? You've done time with them, not as a convict. They speak candidly to you. Friends are good counsel. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Sweet as perfume or incense. How many of you have ever driven by McDonald's and smelled the nice fries? How many of you walked in the mall and smelled the fresh cookies? Have you ever walked in someone's house and there's fresh baked bread? There's these elements, these things you smell, and it's like, oh, yes. These smells. And he says, wisdom is much more sweeter than that sense that you smell. It is soothing to your soul more than the smell to your nose. Do you have heartfelt counsel? People who know God's word and walk in the Spirit and love you and know you, that are going to speak hardly but also give you counsel and wisdom and journey with you through those to help you make decisions about dating, your time, your money, and the things that you consume. Wise friends give good counsel. And lastly, wise friends are connected to you. And I would say the word I'm really going afterwards, I had to do another C, you know, because that's what God tells me to do, is this idea that we are interdependent. We are interdependent people. We are not dependent on other human beings like an infant. An infant is dependent upon his mother. Absolute dependence. God didn't create you to be dependent on other human beings for friendship. And then you go from infant to adolescence. What do adolescents want? They want their what? Freedom. They want their independence. So you go from an infant who says is dependent to an adolescent who is independent. But as people mature, you understand this idea of interdependence. And we're also not codependent. You're like, these are a lot of dependent words. God designed us to be interdependent upon one another. Proverbs says this, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. This idea that there is a mutual reality to friendship. It's not a one-way streak of dependency. It's not a one-way streak of independency of separation. It's a two-way street of interdependence upon one another as friends. Do you have a friendship with Jesus? Do you truly have a friendship with Jesus? That you know him and he knows you? Do you understand the character of him and that you want to brag about him? You brag about certain things. If you truly are walking with Jesus, you will begin to brag about him. And out of that foundation, if you hear nothing else this morning, pursue a friendship with Jesus. And as you pursue that friendship with Jesus, he will transform you to be the friend he wants you to be. And he will show you friends that you should pursue. But also from the Proverbs, we see these principles. Are you pursuing these friendships? How are your friendships doing? Do you exemplify the qualities from the fruit of the Spirit, as also portrayed in the Proverbs. The big idea was this morning. Being a friend of Jesus and having friends enables us to live life to the fullest. If you don't have a friendship with Jesus, you're not living life to the fullest. If you don't have true, wise friends around you, you're not living life to the fullest. May we be a people who pursue our friendship with Jesus, know him intimately so we brag about him. And may we be a people, out of the love that he has for us, he first loved us so that we might love one another and pursue friendship with one another. People will let you down. People will fall short. Don't make friends the idol, or you will crush them. Pursue Jesus as the ultimate friend, and out of that, pursue other friendships. Would you pray with me? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Even if we went to church as a kid, we were sinners and rebellious. Or if we were far from you like I was, you were gracious and compassionate and moved towards us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world for humanity. Thank you that you came into this world for not those who thought they were right, but for those who realized they were far from you. And you moved towards them. You ate meals with them. You listened to them. You healed them. You cared for them. You entered into their world yet without sin. You became all things to all people so that more people would enter into your kingdom. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that you are a friend to the outsider. Thank you, Jesus, that you were accused of being a glutton and a sinner because of who you associate, because I am that, and I was that, and you rescued and redeemed, and now you call me your friend, and I call you friend, Jesus. May we be a people who boast in what you're doing, because we know you, and we're thankful for you. And when everything is inconsistent, you are consistent. When everything seems to be pressing into us, you can carry our anxieties and our worries. When everything seems out of control, you are in control, and we press into you, and we know you. Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend. And Holy Spirit, guide us in our friendships. As we are friends with you, may you guide us intently of how to love others sacrificially. Help us to have wise friends, to make wise choices, to walk the path of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' holy name and our good friend Jesus. Amen.